This episode is brought to you by my program and guide, Yoga Mama Journey, Journey to a Happy and Healthy Pregnancy and Baby. Navigating pregnancy can be so transformative in the best possible ways, but it can also feel overwhelming at times. I've put together a program and guide that will help you to alleviate some of that guesswork and be in great shape, mind and body, for when baby comes into your world. This program contains prenatal workouts, prenatal yoga flows, prenatal Pilates, affirmations for pregnancy, pregnancy supplement checklist, baby registry checklist, hospital bag checklist, and additional resources. You can use the link in the show notes to access the Yoga Mama Journey, Journey to a Happy and Healthy Pregnancy and Baby program and guide. Welcome to Balance Your Life podcast. My name is Megan Farrell and I am the host of the show. This podcast is designed to inspire and empower you to start and maintain your own wellness journey so you can become the best version of yourself. Let's begin. Hey, beautiful souls. Welcome back to another episode of Balance Your Life podcast. I am your host, Megan Farrell Gordon, and today we are doing a continuation of last week's podcast episode, which was all about my postpartum journey. It was everything. It was the raw, real, unedited version of what I personally experienced as postpartum. And while I gave some tips within that podcast episode, I wanted to do another very specific, a very micro niche podcast episode on tips for navigating postpartum. Again, this is what worked for me. I will say this list that I put together when I was going through postpartum was one that I had cultivated from listening to other people in the health and wellness space, other people that I admire, and listening to what they went through, their experience, tips that they had done. I've listened to a ton of doctors on podcasts. I've also had a ton of doctors on Balance Your Life podcast. And for that reason, I'm very lucky because I kind of get a behind the scenes conversation, even though you guys get to listen to it. I just feel very lucky that I get to ask all these questions for these experts in this field and kind of get the nitty gritty on how to navigate certain life situations, postpartum being one of them. And I heard from so many of you in my DMs, in Messenger, saying that you are still struggling with postpartum months and months later, sometimes even years later. And I just want to say that I am here for you. I'm here to support you. I hope that these podcasts, all of them, even the ones not necessarily specific to postpartum, in general, just kind of help you kind of get back on track, because I feel very, very lucky that I did not struggle with postpartum anxiety and depression really for very long in the grand scheme of things. When you're in it, it feels like, my God, it feels like you are in it and it feels like you will never get out of it and it feels never ending. But in hindsight, I can look back and just seeing what other friends have gone through, what other people in this space have gone through, it is a wild journey and it can really kick people's ass and last for quite some time. So I hope that this podcast episode will maybe give you one tip, maybe a bunch of different tips that you can start to implement into your life today that will move the needle forward and help you navigate this very unorthodox, very roller coaster ride of life transition. So with that, let's dive into the 10 tips that I have for navigating postpartum. And I want to clarify that these 10 tips, they are not in order. You can kind of take them as they are. You can implement whatever feels good to you and resonates with you. Implement it. You can pick one. You can pick a bunch of them. Just like anything, you never want to force things. You never want things to feel like you have to do something. Something might feel uncomfortable, or you're like, I don't really know how this is supposed to work or help out. But if it resonates with you and it feels good to you, even if it's a little scary, but it just feels right, that is your sign to move forward with it. So let's pull it up. One thing that I feel very lucky about is, one, I had my baby at the end of June. Now, it rained. It was a very rainy summer for us this year when I had Hendrix, but in general, I was also very lucky to have a baby in really good, warm weather that meant that we could get outside often. I really don't know how I would navigate having a brand new baby in the dead of winter. I would still do these things, but it definitely would seem a little more harder, a little bit more of a struggle. And I just want to fully disclose and say, yep, very lucky I had a baby, a summer baby. But one thing that I think was really, really instrumental in helping was getting outside often, and getting some sunshine and some natural vitamin D. We know the importance of vitamin D in every aspect of our lives, and it's critical in postpartum. So as I was saying in my last episode, during one of my routines, I would get up first thing in the morning with Hendrix. It was usually, you know, between 7 and 7:30 when the UV index was the lowest. Hendrix would be in a diaper and I would be in shorts, like a nursing bra or like a little bandeau thing. Like, I looked like a hot mess. I didn't care though. I was doing things for myself at this point. And I would get outside and I would just stand out there or sit on the steps with him for up to 5 minutes and just allow both of us to get some good quality vitamin D. I would keep Hendrix covered up the rest of the day, but I do feel like vitamin D is so critical even for babies, especially if you have a jaundice baby. Allowing them to get some natural sunlight makes such a world of difference. And I mean, if you just think of your own personal self in the summertime, getting outside, feeling that sun on your face, it's just such a instant mood booster. It's uplifting, it's energizing. And being able to, if you can top it off by getting your feet on the ground, grounding yourself, just being in nature in general is so calming to the nervous system, and something that I think we don't do enough of. We're constantly just inside. So getting outside in nature and getting some sunshine and vitamin D made a world of difference. You could top that off by going on a walk. So now you're kind of getting in a two for one. You're getting outside in nature and some sunshine, and you're getting in movement. Number two is to continue taking your supplements. To this day, as of this recording, I still take my prenatal vitamins. And I remember listening to a few doctors, my own doctor included, saying, after you give birth, don't stop taking your prenatals. You really want to keep those vitamins and those levels in your own body, because after you give birth, the amount of hormones that leave your body and the amount of like nutrient depletion that happens in the body is wild. So prenatals have so much, and please make sure you're taking a good quality prenatal. There's a lot of prenatal vitamins out there that are full of fillers, they're full of garbage, and they're just horrible for you. My naturopathic doctor recommended Ritual, which I do have a code for you guys. I will make sure that that is linked in the show notes. And I think the other one's called like NFH or NFP. And she really likes these ones. They're clean, they're good quality, and you don't need to supplement really anything else. As far as like, you know, some of these other prenatals don't contain folate or they don't have B12, and you have to supplement with those. These prenatals on their own, if you took nothing else, I do suggest a few others, but if you took nothing else, these prenatals would get the job done. They would take you to a baseline of having nutrients and minerals and vitamins in your body. So continue taking your supplements. If you can't get outside for vitamin D, let's say it's the dead of winter, let's just say you're not able to get outside, you know, on those rainy days, I would take a vitamin D supplement. Highly, highly recommend that, you know, fall, spring, winter time. I usually just don't take vitamin D in the summer because I tend to get it naturally. But if you have like a winter baby or anything, vitamin D is critical. Magnesium. Magnesium is also a really, really important supplement to be taking as it is on your own, like not even like necessarily prenatal or postnatal, just like everyone should be taking a magnesium. But magnesium is going to play such a critical role in helping with your nervous system. It's going to help just kind of relax it, and it helps, especially if you're breastfeeding, transfer to baby. We don't have enough magnesium in the body. We tend to have too much calcium, and magnesium can help you sleep really well. So sleep is also critical and important, and I know we get such a lack of it. But when you do get some sleep, magnesium is going to help you fall asleep quicker. It's going to help you stay more relaxed. It's not melatonin. I want to be clear about that. It's just magnesium, but it's a really great supplement to be taking, as is omega-3. So omega-3 is great for inflammation in the body. And because there is a lot of inflammation in the body, especially postpartum, omega-3 can help kind of take down that inflammation. Electrolytes, honestly, especially if you're breastfeeding, oh my goodness, my breastfeeding mamas know this, or if you're not quite a mama yet and you're on your way, you are so thirsty all the time. It does get better, especially as your milk regulates, but my goodness, I remember waking up at like 3 o'clock in the morning and like the Sahara Desert, like I was so thirsty all the time. And adding some electrolytes will help a kind of balance some minerals in the body, but it just kind of also is an additional thirst quencher and helps with the rest of the, what am I trying to say? Everything else that kind of goes on the body, both magnesium and electrolytes, kind of help everything flow together. So get yourself some electrolytes. I also have a code for you. I use Organica. I love them. I think they're really clean. I've tried a bunch of electrolytes, and these ones are really clean and don't have any fun, BS, crappy fillers in them. Also, a probiotic. There are so many studies that come out and say that gut health is related and is a critical role in depression and anxiety. So if your gut health is out of whack, that could be contributing to depression and anxiety. And especially when we're in that postpartum phase, I mean, a lot of us aren't eating great and our gut health can be out of whack. So you really want to start to introduce a probiotic and help kind of just get that gut health under check. So I wanted to read here. I posted something today on Instagram stories and it just vibed with me so much. So this is by Carly Hartwig. It says, postpartum nutrient depletion can last for up to a decade after giving birth. And we know that specific nutrient deficiencies, including vitamin D, magnesium, and vitamin B2, are directly linked to an increased risk of postpartum depression and anxiety. This is why we take vitamin D. This is why we take magnesium. Little side note. Instead of pushing the pill at your 6-week checkup, which happens very, very often, which depletes your nutrients even more, why aren't OBs running lab work? So if you want, you can DM me and I'm happy to send you that post. She has a whole write-up there of, these nutrients that you might be missing. But I resonate with this so much. I think doctors are just very quick to prescribe an antidepressant and anti-anxiety for most things, especially postpartum, especially since a lot of moms experience this. I really don't know any mom who hasn't experienced it on some level. So by making sure that our supplements and our nutrition is on point, we will help reduce the risk of experiencing postpartum for very long. And I don't want to say maybe altogether, but just like the intensity of it. Number three is to eat nutrient dense and prioritize protein. This is so, so critical. Ashley from Birth Baby Sleep also talked about the importance of protein. Protein is really going to help balance those hormones. It's going to keep you fuller longer. You know, in those first early stages, it might seem really hard to get some food into you, but if you can eat a lot of protein, at least knowing that you might not be eating as much as you should, it's going to kind of keep you fuller longer. It's going to keep the energy going. It's going to help to balance your hormone. I cannot say enough about prioritizing protein. When I was meal prepping for baby Hendrix, everything, I'm sure, I'm trying to think of what I meal prepped, everything had a level of protein in it. Protein bars, protein balls, protein smoothies, protein shakes. Just, it's one of those things that is a really easy fix, especially since you got to eat anyways, you might as well prioritize meat. Animal-based meats, you know, steak. Oh, steak was amazing. I loved it all throughout my pregnancy, but postpartum was amazing too. You know, chicken, fish if you do that, plant-based protein powder. I really don't have a lot of experience or any experience with whey. Dairy, just too much of it upsets my stomach, but like I would add protein powders to smoothies all the time. Make it easy for yourself. Create little smoothie bags that you can just get a partner to throw into a blender for you, that you can take 2 minutes and throw into a blender for yourself, add a scoop of protein powder into it. That way, you know, smoothies are incredible because you can jam pack so much into it and know that maybe it's just that one meal you get, but it has a lot of goodness into it. Toss in a green powders too. That's one thing that's so easy to do, especially if you're not getting enough vegetables or fruits into your system. A greens powder and a protein powder, icing on the cake for getting your nutrients in and prioritizing protein. Number four is movement and exercise. I want to prioritize this by saying that you should absolutely be waiting for that 6-week checkup from your doctor for like getting into like some intense exercises. But I was told right from the get-go that I could start doing my pelvic floor exercises right away and I could start walking. So I maybe wouldn't do that like the day after giving birth, like go on an extreme walk or anything. But yeah, I was doing my pelvic floor exercises right away. It took 5 minutes of my day. And then when I was feeding Hendrix, I would do them literally while I was breastfeeding. It was super easy. And movement. Walking. I walked every single day until I was cleared to get back into yoga, until Pilates. Weight training too. Oh my goodness, guys. If you don't weight train, start doing it. I cannot say enough about weight training. It has made my mental health better. It has improved my mood. It has physically changed my body. Yoga and Pilates did too. But there's like a tightness to the body. My body just seems more toned. I'm also stronger. And as you know, holding a baby, you need to have some strength. And helping by lifting weights just helped that so much. So highly recommend what you don't have to have a lot of heavy weights. I started off with 2 5-pound weights and I just did some basic exercises with it. And I cannot say enough good things about weight training. It has been such a game changer in my physical fitness journey and in my mental health journey. So whatever speaks to you, maybe you like have no desire to start lifting weights, but maybe yoga sounds really good to you. Throw on some yoga, join a studio. Of course, you can subscribe to my YouTube channel. I have tons of yoga on there. I have lots of Pilates on there. If you do the yoga mama journey. I also have some weights video in there. You can also do those postnatal as long as you get clearance from your doctor. You can do that. And just notice how much that improves your overall mental health, your overall physical health, your overall emotional health. Number five, this one is important, guys, and one I don't think that is talked about enough, is reducing your toxic load. So before you roll your eyes and go, oh, listen up. Your body is trying to rebalance hormones at this point, and the last thing we want to do is try to detox harmful toxins from our body. And instead, we want to give it all the resources it needs to balance the hormones. So detoxing the body is going to take away from that, balancing of the hormones, from rebuilding our, helping us to rebuild our gut health. And it's going to instead just focus on detoxing and take away from helping us to balance the hormones, which is what we're trying to do postpartum. You're also adding in so many unnecessary endocrine disruptors to the body, carcinogens. It can seem overwhelming, especially when you look at how much of our stuff truly is. It is extremely upsetting, you guys, to know how much of what you're probably using is toxic. And I don't say these things to scare you. It's just to bring an awareness and a mindfulness into your life. And you start with one thing, one small thing, and you start to make subtle changes as you need to throughout your life and throughout the house and your health and everything. Pick one thing that you can do that will help and go from there. A great starting point, honestly, is deodorant. And truthfully, I don't use deodorant. I haven't used deodorant in, probably like 3 years at this point. I don't need to. Anyone who I actually tell that I don't use it is shocked, because they're like, you don't smell. I kind of thought someone who didn't have deodorant or use deodorant would smell. And because when the body isn't trying to detox itself and get rid of stuff, you don't smell. There's no need for a smell. And deodorant just blocks those lymph nodes. That is, your body is literally trying to detox using the lymph nodes, and you've gone ahead and blocked it. So if you could pick one thing, switch out your deodorant. Another great thing is to change out your dishwashing soap, change out your laundry soap, especially we also don't want to be giving these things to baby. We don't want to be putting the stuff on baby's skin. There was a wild study about taking umbilical cords, and I can't remember, but the amount of toxins that were found in newborn umbilical cords is wild. It's like our poor babies are trying to do the most growing that they'll ever do inside the belly and then outside of the belly for the first year, and we're adding garbage to their lives. We're adding toxic chemicals to their lives when we should be allowing them to really just focus on growing. So reduce your toxic load. Don't feel overwhelmed by this. Pick one thing, stick with it. And then, as time goes on, you can swap out other things until you have a low-tox living or a non-toxic home and personal care lifestyle. Number six is therapy. Even if you don't think you'll want to do therapy, even if you don't think there will be any benefit to it, there is something so helpful about, one, talking to someone who specializes in postpartum depression and anxiety, and two, having an unbiased opinion, an unbiased person who can just allow you to rant, allow you to cry, and not try. Sometimes you just want to feel these feelings without being told you should be grateful for this or you should be so happy. It's like, yes. But also, things suck right now and I need to talk about it. I need to cry about it, and usually partners or family members want to make things feel better. You also just don't always take what they're saying and take it in, if you know what I mean. It's like, of course they're saying those things, they have to. Whereas a therapist will really just kind of, one, make sure that you're not on a path of self-destruction, and just also help you to feel your feelings, to process them, to give you space to do that, and to offer unsolicited, helpful tips and advice, and just kind of like be a listening ear. So highly recommend that. Number 7 is to join groups. Now, I say this kind of hesitantly because I think you need to find one group, maybe a few, that make you feel good and just kind of get yourself out there. Just kind of being sometimes stuck at home with a newborn, especially if you have a partner that works and there's nobody else around, it can feel very lonely. It can feel very isolating. And having just other people who are at that exact point as you, or maybe a little further along on the path, can be really, really helpful. You have things to bond over. You have things to talk about. Now, I will say, though, that I joined a few groups and I found, you know, I joined maybe like 3 of them and 2 of them just were not for me. I just felt like the people there were not on a journey of self-care, of health and wellness. They were just kind of there to like rant, and I just didn't, it was not a good vibe. But there was one group that I really resonated with. I loved the person who was running it. I felt like I really bonded with a lot of the moms. There was a lot of helpful tips, a lot of helpful advice without feeling like sometimes honestly, the mom situation can be the most supportive group. They can be the most supportive, and they can also be super mean and make you feel terrible about certain things. And this group did not do that. You know, people make you feel bad about bottle feeding or formula feeding or breastfeeding or co-sleeping, not co-sleeping. Like, it is wild. So you don't even have to necessarily join mom groups. Although, like I said, there is something really nice about bonding with people who are where you're at or a little further ahead, but just getting out and about and doing things that push you a little bit out of your comfort zone. They allow you to get outside with baby. And I mean, like outside the house, maybe not physically outside, especially if it's like winter, but they just kind of help you to not feel so isolated and alone. Number 8 is cold therapy and hot therapy. I started doing cold showers again because we didn't have the cold plunge at the time, but cold showers again, I want to say week 4 or week 5. Postpartum, and that helped so, so much. I started, because I took some time off after having baby, I started back at 30 seconds. I worked my way up to 3 minutes. But there's something about cold therapy that just, it works, you guys. It really helps you to, one, feel awake, if anything, just the feeling of like coldness alerting you and waking you up. It also helps, honestly, with metabolism. So, you know, a lot of the time you feel kind of foreign in your body postpartum, and this just helps kind of get you back to, I don't want to say where you're at before, because not everybody goes back to that way, but just, you know, it helps with that metabolism boost. If you are breastfeeding too, I know there's a lot of fear of like it blocking the ducts. It never did that for me. Could that happen? I really don't know. It never happened for me. But I will say cold therapy and hot therapy is very, very popular still in a lot of Norwegian countries, even pregnancy. I did cold showers while I was pregnant. I don't have a sauna of any kind, but it is very popular. Again, you're not like overdoing it in cold or hot, but very popular in Norwegian companies in Norwegian countries. And, you know, if you want to learn a little bit more about it, look up like Wim Hof, the cold therapy and the benefits of it. Incredible. And then just, you know, heat, even if it's just a shower, is also extremely relaxing and just makes you feel good. Number 9 is breathwork and meditation. And before you go, Megan, I have absolutely no time to be doing breathwork and meditation. I'm going to help you out here. We're going to habit stack this. One, you can do breath work while you're having your cold shower. Even if it is a 30-second cold shower, to this day, I still do this. I will inhale for a count of four and exhale for a count of seven. That is what I do while I'm in the shower, while I'm playing a meditation. We're habit stacking this at this point. So I have a meditation going. I am doing some, you know, easy breath work, and I'm getting in a cold shower. I would put Hendrix in his little, you know, that like bouncy chair thing as he got older. Even now, like to this day, he sits in his exercise saucer. I bring it up to the bathroom. He just goes so quiet when the meditation is playing, and like he just knows. Like he sees me get into the shower for 3 minutes. He plays in his exercise saucer. I have the meditation going and I do my breath work. You could also just play a meditation while you were walking. That was one thing I did at the very start, was I would just go for a little walk around the block and I would play a meditation while I was going for a walk. If you can do like breath work and stuff afterwards, bonus, but you can habit stack these things and kind of get a good deal that way. Wim Hof breath work, if you have some time afterwards, let's say the baby's having a nap and you've like, I have 10 minutes. I love the Wim Hof breath work. You can look it up on YouTube. There's like 80 million views on it. You'll know it when you see it. Life-changing. And then meditation is just, you know, 10 minutes of that. You could do it while you're doing some skincare. You could do it while you're making the bed. You could do it while you're going on a walk. You could even do it while, let's say you have baby on the floor doing tummy time, play a meditation while they're doing that. I swear that's why Hendrix knows to be kind of quiet at that point, is because I did it all the time and he's just used to, you know, me doing these things. Number 10 is, please don't hate me, sleep. I know it used to drive me nuts when people would say sleep when the baby sleeps. It's like, it is so much easier said than done to do those things. But truly, if you could even take one of those naps or two of those naps throughout the day when the baby is sleeping and just get a little bit of R&R, really, really helps. I mean, we all know that when the body goes through trauma or when we're recovering from an illness, a sickness, anything, sleep is so important. Sleep is going to help you recover. It's going to help recharge the body. And obviously with a newborn, that takes a huge hit. So we just want to try getting sleep when we can. It's also really important that, you know, when you're sleeping, you're getting a good quality sleep in, even if it's for like half an hour. That's why magnesium is so important. You know, that's why I didn't love having my phone around me during night feedings. I didn't watch TV or anything. I would read a book with a light on, like a little yellow light. And so I could fall asleep that much quicker and that much deeper and get that rest. And then I have a bonus one for you. So this one, I was hesitant to put into it because it can be kind of a touchy subject. But if you can, and I completely understand that this is not doable for a lot of people, but if you can, breastfeed. Breastfeeding will help balance your hormones. And I know some people are like, Megan, I can't, I have to go back to work. You know, I know in the States, it's like your postpartum period is so, it's just, it physically makes me so upset that you guys don't get more time off. In Canada, we get up to a year. Not everyone will take that, but we do have that luxury. And some people just really struggle with breastfeeding. This is what I would say to that. If you find you are having trouble breastfeeding, maybe baby is having trouble latching, maybe you were told baby had a tongue tie and they weren't able to correctly breastfeed, what I would do is, formula is crazy expensive, you guys. I've looked at the price of formula. I would hire a lactation consultant before I went down the route of formula and seeing if there were things that they could do to help me to breastfeed, because in the long run, it's going to save you more money. If we strictly look at it from a financial perspective, yes, there is a larger upfront fee that goes out to hiring a lactation consultant, but in the long run, I mean, breast milk is free, you guys. It's easy. You can pop a boob out anywhere. There's no, like, getting a bottle ready. You know, being in the kitchen, trying to get a formula into a bottle and everything. You can literally roll over if you're cold sleeping, feed baby. You can pop a boob out anywhere and feed it. And it also, like, it really, really does help balance the hormones that much quicker. So if you can't, you can't. And I believe in just feeding baby, whether it's however that looks like for you in the best way. But there are a lot of benefits to breastfeeding if you are able to do it. So that is it, you guys. Those are my 10 tips to navigating postpartum. I hope you found those helpful. If you enjoyed this episode, one, leave me a 5-star rating and review if you feel like I deserve it. Let me know what your takeaway was from this podcast episode. Another thing that you can do that is so, so helpful is share this episode with another soon-to-be mom. Even if this is their first baby, their second, third, or fourth, each postpartum period can look a little differently. And maybe you're just that person that shares this with them and gives them a tip that changes their postpartum experience, and they're so grateful and happy that you did that for them. So share this out on social media. Let me know what your biggest takeaway was from this episode. Let me know what you want to include in your postpartum journey. You don't have to have just given birth. This works for any point in your postpartum journey. I still do these things to this day. And those are the best ways that you can help support me, that you can help support the show so that I can keep doing these, bringing value to you, and to keep the lights on in my house and for my growing little family. With that, I will leave you until next week. I love you all so much, and I will see you then. I'm in my postpartum mummy wellness phase, but I'm still taking my prenatal vitamins. I was told while breastfeeding, it's still essential to make sure I was giving my baby all the nutrients he needed to grow into a healthy boy, and by taking my prenatals, I would ensure I wasn't missing any gaps in his nutritional needs. And I don't take just any prenatal vitamin, because there is a lot out there that has added garbage to it and fillers. I take Ritual. What I really liked about the brand and their vitamins is that it's high quality, and they use traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. It's non-GMO, Project Verified, soy-free, gluten-free, and vegan. It also has a citrus-enhanced capsule that's designed to be easy on the stomach, so you can take it with or without food. I usually just take mine in the morning with my breakfast. I also love that it's on a subscription base, so I get an email notification when they're getting my next order ready. I can either pause it and extend it if I feel like I don't need any, or I just let it go through and then my prenatal vitamins arrive in the mail. It's amazing. Right now, Ritual is giving all Balance Your Life podcast listeners 10% off your first 3 months by going to ritual.com/Megan. That's ritual.com/MEGHAN for 10% off your first 3 months. If you love this podcast episode, spread the love by sharing this with your friends and family, share it out on social media, and don't forget to give it a 5-star rating and review. From the bottom of my heart, I am so grateful that you are here. Until next time.